Well, we're still in our series on walking in the ways of the Lord. And since we'll be doing that for an eternity, we're not in any hurry getting through this. And really, everything that you study is about walking in the ways of the Lord. So this is going to be a long study. We'll spend eternity in it. But in the meantime, we'll do what we're doing right now. This is part 27. Of walking in the ways of the Lord, and the title is "The Lord is My Shepherd, I Am at Rest in the Lord," and this is part two. I know there'll be a part three. I'm just not for sure about a part four. I think all we'll get. Last week we only got through verse one. There's a few words in verse one, and not very many, but we got a lot out of verse one, and there's more in verse one than what we studied. But we're going to take up at verse 2 today. Start with our foundational statement on this section on peace. We've had several messages on peace here, and we're still on that. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is walking in the peace and rest of the Lord. This person exercises the fruit of peace in every area of their life. They are at rest in God's living word. When you say this person exercises, it means that he's working at it. And then you say every area of our life, it means that we're supposed to be aware of our life as we walk in our now moments through our life. We should be aware of when we're not doing that, because there's nothing more important than our love walk. And if you're not walking in your love walk, you can never walk in peace. The two go together. If you make a quality choice that you're walking the ways of the Lord, you'll be walking the love walk. You'll be judging your life as you go through your now moment steps, and you'll be aware of those things which steal your peace, things that draw you away from peace. And that's something that we need to be aware of. We need to so-called fight for our peace. And what you're fighting is your own brain. You're not fighting people. You're not fighting circumstances. You're fighting your own emotional way of looking at that circumstance. Nature, right? You're carnal fighting nature. Your carnal nature. And there's nothing, we all have a carnal nature. God give it to us. There's nothing wrong with it because we're walking in the natural world. But we're not supposed to be emotionally governed. We're supposed to govern our emotions with the love walk. But instead, we do it the other way around. We allow our emotions to determine whether I walk in love or not. And there's never a time when we're not to be walking in love. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be successful 100% of the time. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to slip and slide. I'm in a natural world. Jesus knew that, and God knows it. That's why he gave us that little old safety valve called 1 John 1:9. It's where we confess our sins. We own up to them. And we allow him to cleanse us the way he wants to. We look at our life, and if we've been, or we have, or been, or are emotionally driven by most of the circumstances around us, we find it hard to walk in love. Because mm-hmm. we'll be walking in fear and worry and all the other things that we shouldn't be walking in. Mm-hmm. But it's not impossible to change that. That's what that word exercise means. It means that I'm supposed to draw on the peace that's in my spirit man. The Holy Spirit's in every born-again believer, so peace is there. I just have to draw on it and make a quality decision. I am the one that determines whether I walk in love or fear, worry, and hate. In peace or fear, worry, and hate. I'm the one that makes that choice. Satan cannot make that for me. He will give me opportunities. And it's up to me to take that opportunity or to get rid of it and instead take the word. That's my choice. And that is the right of every single born-again Christian. We can make choices. That's why God gave it to us. And he's holding us responsible for that.
That's right.
We are responsible for walking in peace. And sometimes I need help with that. Sometimes I need to drag the old CD back out again and listen to that. I need to get back in the Word and see what the Word says about it. I need to reach out to a friend. I need to be praying or worshiping, something to turn my focus back to where it should be. But that's my part. That's my part to do that. And I need to do that. God's ready. The Holy Spirit's ready. That's why he gave him to us. The peace is already present. I'm just making a choice for something else. And I need to remember that. It's my choice. I don't have to yield to that. The problem may still be there, but it won't be near as big when you walk through it in peace. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's necessary for us to have the Lord as our shepherd. We talked about that last week. And to be at rest in the Lord. If he really is my shepherd, if I'm allowing him to be my shepherd, that means he's my Lord. And if he's my Lord, then I can literally walk through my life in rest and peace, no matter what the circumstances of life are. Mother, I want you to read again Psalm 23. We're going to go read the whole thing, and I'll primarily be in the Amplified Classic. There's just a few New King James.
And you want me to read it in Amplified?
Yeah, that's our focus, because there's so much in there that we need to see.
The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, through the deep, sunless valley and the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my brimming cup runs over. Surely or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life.
Glory to God.
And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place.
Glory to God. As we said, you can take this and lay it over the top of Psalm 91. And I know that David was meditating on Psalm 91, which Moses wrote hundreds of years before when he wrote this. I think Psalm 91 was probably a major part of David's life, a major part of governing his life and what he done. And it should be a major part of ours. Psalm, as we mentioned last week, Psalm 91 and Psalm 23 are good images or patterns of what a man of peace, how he walks. How he walks in the rest of God. What a person that's walking in the ways of the Lord, what his life is like. It doesn't mean he's perfect. He's going to have ups and downs. And sometimes when you minister something like that, he says, well, you're talking about the perfect person, and I can't be that. Yes, you can. You can be perfect in your now moment. You can walk right in your now moment. And then when the next one comes up, next now moment, you can do the same over again. And when you look back at your life, you'll see you've walked a long way. If you put both feet together on the floor and you just stand there, you're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. That's the now moment you're in right now. You're standing there, but time moves on. So the way you walk through your now moment is one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time. And every time you take another step, the now moment's no longer there. It's in history. It's in time. So you can correct yourself, and especially your emotions. You can govern your life with the peace and the love of God in your now moment. Nothing and no one can keep you from doing that. And Satan can't. And God's not going to keep you from walking in your now moment in the way he wants you to. Because every step you take in the now moment draws you closer to heaven or closer to hell. It draws you closer to peace and joy and life abundant, or you walk backwards, or you walk into more fear and worry and depression. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to walk in fear, worry, and depression, you're going to have to turn around and walk the steps of God.
Amen.
You're going to have to do what the Word says to do. And what happens is, it looks like it's difficult, especially when you start. Because, like me, I've got soon be 74 years of experience. Well, that's a lot of time. So I've got some habitual patterns of life. They're habits. You push a button and I'm right there. Mm-hmm. I don't even have to think about it.
Right.
Because it's a pattern. It's a habitual lifestyle. So when I turn and I make a choice, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to walk in the ways of the Lord. It may take a little while for me to make that change. And it looks difficult at first because I've got all this history here and I don't have much time walking this new walk. But I've got someone that's from eternity itself living in me that can guide me and strengthen me and encourage me as I start walking. But I got to keep my focus on Him, my focus on the Word, not where I was, not my habitual behavior before. I need to turn my focus from the way I was to the way I want to be. And every born-again Christian wants to walk with God. If he's genuinely right with God, genuinely born again, he wants to follow the shepherd. And he wants us to. But if my back is to him, walking the ways of the world, how can he draw me to himself? But if I make a choice in a now moment and I turn to face Him and His Word, then He can draw me. Mm-hmm. Then He can teach me. It's my choice. Mm-hmm. Which way am I going to walk? The two are dynamically opposed to each other. Mm-hmm. You can't walk both ways. You can't walk backwards the way you were and the way you want to be. You can't walk both. You can't be on this side of the fence and on the other side at the same time. You can't be walking with God and walking with the world at the same time. You're going to have to make a choice. What do you want to do? God wants us to walk right. And He's given us everything we need to walk right. We lack nothing. If the Holy Spirit's in us, if we're born again, we lack nothing. The only thing is my choice. Do I want to walk with God or do I not? And it doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what Satan says. It doesn't matter what your habitual behavior has been up to this point. This now moment is what I'm living in. This now moment I can make a change. This now moment I can walk with God. And when you do that, from this now moment, and you take another step, and you're in another now, and you do it again. You just keep making that choice. It becomes easier and easier to do. And before very long, it won't. If you're serious and mean business with God, it won't take very long for your habits to change. It won't take long. Your habitual behavior will change. Mm-hmm. Now, instead of habitually living the way you did, now, because you're making a choice and the Holy Spirit's strengthening you and you're meaning business with God, now it becomes easier because you're drawing closer to Him. And what does James say? Draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. It's not. He didn't say, I don't want to draw nigh to you. I'm going to teach you if you don't turn around and come my way. That's not what He's doing. It's not possible for Him to draw near to me unless I draw near to Him. He gave us choice. So if I want to walk in peace and rest in my life, I'm going to have to do something with Michael's choices. And like I said, it takes a little while. It's going to be a little difficult when you first do it because of the habitual behavior. But when you make the choice anyways, and you ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, you do what's required and make that choice in your now, every now moment it will get easier. And before long, it won't take long. It's different time frame for everyone, depending on our drive to do it, our want to, determines how long it takes. But we will actually start having fun with it. It'll actually become a joy walking right with God. Because now it's a new habit. There was other things start coming up, And they just, you laugh at them because they, how in the world could I ever have ever thought that was good?
Amen.
You know, because your habits have changed. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to do. You know, you can't just stop doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You have to replace it with something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a habit of being emotionally driven in your choices,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to replace it with something.
Mm-hmm.
Replace it. You can stop doing it, maybe in the natural for a little while, by just, you know, I don't want to go through life that way. I don't think anybody does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do it. 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 I just did it. You know, that's the way most of us live. Don't we? And all of us got something there that pushes our buttons that way, but it's habitual. So we're going to have to put something in its place. And the best thing to put in its place is something that's stronger than what it is.
Amen.
Which is being spiritually minded. It's a higher law. But the only way I can be spiritually minded is if I choose to be. God's not going to stick a new brain in there. It's got to get renewed by the Word. That's the way it is, guys. And if I'm not governing my life by my love walk, I'm never going to walk in peace and rest. It's just not going to happen. I may get just a few little things here and there, but as a whole scope of life, when I look back at my steps, I've not walked in peace and rest. But if I do this, I can look back and see where the change was. I can see how it got better and better and better and better. And now I've got a love affair with my Father. Now me and the Holy Spirit walking together.
Well, don't you think the main thing, and I've said this 100 times, everybody's heard me say this, the way to renew your mind is to renew your mouth.
You have to, and what do you put in there?
You can't go back on that old ugly talk and griping and complaining and whining and commiserating and fussing. And
again, you have to replace it with something.
Mm-hmm.
You replace it with something better. You replace your
That's
words
what this is.
With the Word. You govern what you say by what the Word says.
Mm-hmm.
You govern your, what you say by your love walk, by your knowledge of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just join in everybody else's way they're speaking. Mm-hmm. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm. No.
Most of the people, I was listening to a YouTube video that I really wanted to hear because it's I'm big in tech stuff, you know, and I learn things that way. And I was doing a lot of research on some stuff. And he's got all the knowledge. I don't have it, you know. Not all of it, do you?
No.
No. But when you need, like I said last week, if you lack knowledge, what do? You go get knowledge. So I've been doing some research, and this one guy had exactly what I wanted to know, and he was doing a great job. But then he started saying certain words, and I know by the way he looked, he didn't know he said them.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. So I can't do it. I just turned it off. I'm not letting that go in here. But I wanted to know what he knew. But no matter how much knowledge he has, he's speaking things I don't want to hear. And that's what Satan does. He will see to it that you hear it. And before long, if you don't watch yourself and govern it, you'll be saying it. And not knowing you did. And it's just the way it is. And we need each other to help us with that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But and not get mad at when somebody says, hey, if you're going to have what you say, like Mother said, you don't want some of that. So anyways, we got to govern our life with our mouth. We got to change our life with what we say. And what we say has to line up with the love walk, with God's Word, and if we make a mistake, we repent. We correct it. We don't get mad at ourselves. We don't down ourselves. We don't do any of that. We made a mistake. And that's when we have to get the Word in abundance in our heart, because out of the heart the mouth speaks. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we don't want that. None of that is in my notes, by the way. But it's good stuff. And it's part of walking in
That's
the rest of God.
Verse 1.
Amen. We're not even getting to verse 2 yet. Matter of fact, we're not going to be for a few minutes. When entering into and dwelling in the secret place of God's rest, the Lord Himself becomes our shepherd. Let's look at John chapter 10. Now, Jesus talked about Himself being the good shepherd. And He explained, He was teaching on the difference between a good shepherd and a shepherd that's not so good. And He likened Himself. Whenever you see a scripture like that in John 10:11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for His sheep. Well, every time I see the word good or a descriptive word similar to that, I automatically realize if there's a good one, what is there?
There's
a bad one. Otherwise, Jesus would say, I am the shepherd. He didn't say that. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for His sheep. Now, what does the bad shepherd do? It would be the opposite of that. He would take from the sheep or kill the sheep. It's always opposite. But Jesus called Himself the good shepherd. Now, good. What is good? Jesus even said, "Why somebody comes, good teacher. As somebody comes to Him, a good teacher. And then Jesus said, why do you call Me good? There's only one that's good. And that's God. And He was speaking from the angle of being a man. All necessary good is God Himself. Even though He is God, that as a man, He was walking as a man in the earth. Not as God the Son. He was God the Son, but He was walking as a man. Fully man. Fully God, fully man. But He left all of His Godhead attributes in heaven when He came. So He's fully man. And that, otherwise He couldn't have died for us. So He says here, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for His sheep. That did Jesus do that?
Yes.
He gave His life for His sheep. And that's us. We are the sheep. Now, let's jump down in John 10 to verse 14. We're going to read 14 through 18. Again, He says, I am the good shepherd. So that's twice in the same verse. He's still teaching to the same people. I am the good shepherd, and I know My sheep, and am known by My own. As the Father knows Me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down My life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear My voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore My Father loves Me, because I lay down My life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from Me, but I lay it down of Myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from My Father. The whole mission of Jesus is right there. They blamed the Jews for crucifying Him. They did do that, but they didn't kill Him. He laid down His life. They didn't kill Him. That's why they were so surprised that He died so soon. It was just a very short time, and He said, it is finished. And He died. He left. They didn't kill Him. He left. Where did He go? Hell. He went to hell as a man. A man went into hell. And the man came out. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He was a sinless man. He had to carry our sin in there. And He didn't carry it back out.
Thank you, Lord.
He took all of our sin, past, present, and future, for all of time. He took all of our sin and he carried it into hell. The Amplified says, in the guise of sin. What is a guise? It's a disguise. Mm-hmm. He bore our sins. He did not sin. Mm-hmm. So what he was in a disguise of sin. It's the only way he could get in there. He couldn't get in hell any other way. He had no way of getting in there because it's for sin. So he wore our sins, everyone's, into hell for us. And they're still there today. Mm-hmm. They didn't come back out.
Thank you, Lord.
The sins back where it came from.
Yeah, and left it
there. Right back there again. The west. And it will never come out. Mm-hmm. We've already been forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
That forgive, well, then why do I have to ask forgiveness when I sin? Mm-hmm. Because it's not yours till you believe it, till you receive it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're paying your own price. He paid the price. I have to receive what he paid. That's why you run to 1 John 1:9 and confess your sins. Mm-hmm. When you confess your sins, you're receiving what he did. And then that cleanses you because it's already paid for.
Amen.
But if I don't do that, mm-hmm. then I have to pay for it. I don't want to pay for what I did. Even if I lived a perfect life, I mean, absolutely perfect according to God, I would still go to hell because of Adam's sin. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Because of that, mm-hmm. I'm walking one way and that's straight to hell. But when I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, because I mean business, I want him as my Lord mm-hmm. and my Savior, I make that decision, mm-hmm. then I receive. And now that one that was going to hell is dead. And now I get born again. I'm connected with God again. My spirit's alive again. Because the Holy Spirit came in because I wanted him there. Now the Holy Spirit comes in and the Spirit brings life to my spirit. So now I'm not walking towards hell. Mm-hmm. I'm walking towards life with my Father every step I take. That's why I have a right to walk in peace and rest in God, because of what he did. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I do. It's the decision I make. Mm-hmm. It's something I believe. It's something I receive and acknowledge. Mm-hmm. It's something that I focus on instead of focusing on the way I was. So this is so important for us. I don't care what you've done, who you are, how far down you've been in your life. Jesus is still Lord.
That's right.
And you're still free. He still paid the price. Mm-hmm. He still paid for it. Mm-hmm. Even if you never believe it, even if you never receive it, he still paid your price.
Amen.
Way before you existed. Mm-hmm. Now that blows my mind. How can an act that he did mm-hmm. 2,000 years ago, which really was before that. It was in the garden itself when the act first started. But how can something he did 2,000 years ago on a cross affect me today? That cross transcends time and eternity. That's why it is a cross. Heaven and hell, heaven and earth, east and west. All of time and all of eternity. That's just so awesome to me. And that's not our message either, but it's a good one. Yes. But it puts us in perspective of why he is our good shepherd. He wants to be that for us. That's the love of God. And he says here in verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Who's that?
Unsaved.
That's us. Who's the fold he's talking about? The word says that Jesus was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Ultimately, he was sent to all mankind. Mm-hmm. But That could not happen until the cross happened. Mm-hmm. So at the time he's speaking to the Jews. He told the woman, the one woman that came, she was, I believe, a Samaritan or a
Syrophoenician
woman, and she wanted her daughter delivered because she had a demonic spirit. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, I cannot, I'm not sent to anyone but the lost sheep of Israel. It's not right for me to give the children's bread to dogs. And she came back and said, yeah, but even the dogs get the crumbs under the master's table. That's what he wanted. He wanted her to say something mm-hmm. by faith to get him to where he could do something for her. Oh, okay. Up to that point, he couldn't do anything for her because he was not sent there. She had to, by faith, position him to where he could. Mm-hmm. And when she responded back that way, what did he say? He said, for that saying, lady, you go home, your daughter's healed mm-hmm. or delivered. That's not quote, word for word. That's the overview of what he said. And so he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. That was his mission. He was not sent to the Gentiles or to the rest of the world. But when the cross took place, that changed everything.
Amen. Thank you.
That changed everything. And that's the flock he's talking about here. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I also must bring. He's talking about the cross there. And they will hear my voice. Thank God we hear his voice.
Amen.
And there will be one flock and one shepherd. No longer Jew, no longer Gentile, no longer slave, but one. No longer male or female. In God, we are one. There's only one. Read Ephesians about that. That's awesome. So this is important. This is why that you and I can walk in the rest and the peace of God. Hallelujah. Now let's go down a little bit further on the page to verse 27 in the same chapter. He's still talking about his sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Why did he say that last part? Because they cannot snatch them out of the Father's hand. And since they're one, he can't snatch them out of Jesus' hand either. Because they're one. Hallelujah. We will hear his voice. We will follow him. We can make that a confession. Lord, I will hear your voice. And I will follow you. He's always speaking to us. Always. He always speaks to his children. It's a still small voice. A still little urge. A little something. Inside, but the more we obey it, the more we do what that little voice says inside, not here, but here. Here, you can tell the difference. I had that happen last week, really loud, but you can hear his voice and follow that voice. When you do that, no matter how small it is, and you follow his voice, the next, it keeps getting louder and louder and louder. Because you're drawing closer, because you're able to hear him now. You're wanting to hear. You're deciding to do what he says. So that voice gets louder inside. We're more aware of it because we're making the decision to follow after him. I made it, had someone wanted me to do something, and normally I would do it. And I took a day and I prayed about it and called back to the guy and I said, you know, I can't see why we cannot do it. And I sent him a text, and the minute I did it, mm-hmm. I was uneasy. The voice of the Holy Spirit. But I thought, well, maybe that's me. Maybe it's just something that I'm just not comfortable doing. No. So I listened a little longer, and that was about 7, 8 o'clock of an evening that I finally said, okay. It didn't take but just a second or two that I was uneasy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't put two and two together, but the longer the night went, I talked to her about it too. But she just said, well, we'll just go on anyways. It'll be okay. And the longer it sat, by the time I went to bed about 11:30, that thing was like it was almost the sun shining as a caution light. And I would have called at 11:30 and said, no, I can't do this. But I knew I wasn't supposed to do it. I was in the wrong place. And ordinarily, it would have been fine. But I'd been there in the wrong place before. Somebody volunteered me to do something. And I went ahead without even praying about it. And I said, I'll never do that again. But this was a lot louder. I'm trying to practice to the best of my ability, and I don't like the word best, every way I can. Mm-hmm. Best is a limit, remember that. Every way I can to follow the Lord and to hear His voice and to obey it. So I'm listening, and that was the loudest I've ever heard. No, don't go that way. I would have called him at midnight. But I didn't. And so the next morning, the very first thing, I texted them, so I can't do it. I can't do it. And why? And they were fine with that. But I almost made a big mistake. I don't know what the result of that mistake would have been, but I know the voice of my Father. And it was wrong. Anybody else would have said, well, what's wrong with that? Just go ahead. You've done it 10,000 times, and it's always worked out. Mm-hmm. No. No, you don't go where you're not supposed to go if you know better. So pay attention to that little small voice. That's why I shared that with you, to pay attention to it, so that you are aware of it. Because you'll hear it. God is always talking to His children. So many times we just shrug it off. If it's something that you question, don't run right into it. Take the time. If you're being pushed into something, you just got to do it now. We've got a time limit here. You got to do it. Don't ever do it. God will always, He'll always tell you. Satan will push you into something. God will always give you time. He wants you to test it. You're not testing God. You're testing yourself to be sure you're hearing. So, okay. So my sheep hear my voice. Glory to God. In the last, we're now starting tonight's message. In the last message, we discussed verse 1 of Psalm 23. So tonight we're going to do what we can to get through verse 2 and hopefully verse 3. So verse 2 of Psalm 23, verse 2, Amplified Classic. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. That's God's idea. That's what He wants to do. That's the image of how He wants us to live. Our whole life is supposed to be walking that way. That's supposed to be what our life is like. But we add so much to it, we don't do that. If He's my shepherd, no matter how big the storms of life are, He's going to make that storm something good for me. The end result of that will be good. His idea is that I lie down in fresh green pastures or supply. Fresh green pastures is like food and provision. That's what the still waters and restful waters are. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. Now, I don't know how many of you grew up with a cistern. No. But I did.
We did.
And I grew up with rain barrels because we had a very small cistern, very small. No. And when the cistern got full and run off on the roof, mm-hmm. we fill barrels up. Mm-hmm. So we just go in the barrel. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens when all that stuff runs off your roof? Where does it go? It goes in your cistern. Mm-hmm. It goes in your rain barrel. But when that water is still, It's not on the top. It sinks to the bottom. Oh. And it, have you ever seen a movie where they've been going and they haven't had water in a long time? Mm-hmm. And finally they found some water. Yeah. In the westerns,
yeah.
Those guys all dump in there all at one time. Now you got a bunch of mud. How many of you know that they wouldn't do that till after they drank the water? They're smarter than that, but the movie's always got to have this drama. Well, when you stir up a cistern or a rain barrel, all of that stuff and gunk comes right back up. That's why it's the still and restful waters. They're clean and pure. But what happens when a flood or a high wave comes through? All of the junk in that stream is high and up. The Jordan was a muddy river, from what my understanding is. Yeah. It was almost always muddy. That's because it was always stirred up. But in a restful stream, in a place, especially a pond or something, a reservoir, if you let it set and don't disturb it, all of that stuff goes to the bottom. Then you got clean water to drink.
That's why Naaman didn't want to dip 7 times.
That's exactly why he didn't want to dip in there. That's full mud. We got
nicer rivers at home.
Cleaner streams at home. Why can't I go there? No. Obey here. Or you'll never get healed. Mm-hmm. This is a picture of what our life is supposed to be. That junk on the bottom, reminiscent of what we do when we walk our own way, when we walk contrary to God's ways. Mm-hmm. We're stirring things up. The way we talk to people stirs things up.
Yes.
They stir things up. Mm-hmm. Our intentions are wrong. We just constantly stirring things up. We feel we can get it changed that way if we stir this thing up. No, you can't.
Like sleeping dogs lie.
Leave it alone, you know. Pray. Let that sediment go down to the bottom. Pray. Allow God's word to bring a rest. And then go forward. God wants us to be in a place of provision and a place of rest. He's made that provision. Now remember, this is pre-cross.
Yes.
Pre-cross. How much more post-cross? Since he put his own spirit inside of us, he wants us to walk in rest and peace. That's his desire. And he's made provision. I have to cooperate. If I keep stirring things up, what am I going to have? Filth, dirt, dust, mud, all the crud that we don't want. I've had to clean cisterns out.
Oh, yeah.
It's not fun. Mm-hmm.
That's why you only do it about every 10 years.
Yeah. You got to drain it. Then you get in there and you got to get all that gunk. It's amazing what you have in your water.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
But hey, I'm all right. I'm still here. Mm-hmm. Do you have a cistern, Nate?
I grew up around them, but we didn't have one.
Didn't have
one.
I remember when they cleaned ours out, I was in high school, and the first thing we had to do was empty it.
Yeah.
Which we didn't have a drain.
Well, you had a big one, though.
We had to dip it out. Yeah. We had a bigger one now. My dad built one right before he died. He built a really big one.
Ours wasn't as, it wasn't as big as this room.
Or something.
Ours was small.
Yeah.
About half the size of this room, maybe.
What, the one that dad just built? Yeah, no, it's as big as half of this room.
No, it was one we had was even smaller.
And we drank that water all our lives.
Sure,
with
we
the
did.
Dipper that hung on our kitchen curtain rod.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when Judy's married this guy, he had to put a filter in because he wouldn't drink it.
Can't say that blame him.
It was good water.
But it was good. If you left it alone.
I'm telling you, it's soft water.
So the
you
moral.
Just need a tiny little drop of dishwashing liquid or something because it just suds up like crazy.
The moral of this story is, don't go around stirring things up. Walk in the rest and peace of God. When sheep are full, satisfied, and the shepherd is present watching over the sheep, what do? They lie down.
They're cud chewers.
They do not move from that place until they see the shepherd move. The presence of the shepherd brings the sheep rest. And it should be the same for us. If I'm walking with God, walking in His ways, I should be at rest. I should move, recognize His voice, and move when He moves. Do what He tells me to do. That's what Jesus lived His whole life. He said, I do not do anything unless I hear my Father say it. I say what He says to say. I do what He tells me to do. And that's the way we're supposed to live our life. Listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listening to the Word. Walking the love. If you walk in the love walk and you're focused on it, you mean business with it, you don't really have to be concerned about anything else. Everything else will just fall into place. But if you are on purpose not doing that, if you're walking based on your emotions, you're going to fail. It's just the way it is. And you'll blame God for it. I prayed, but what did you do after you prayed? Well, I prayed. You went right back the way you were before. You didn't do anything to correct your ways. You didn't change the way you're thinking. You didn't correct those emotional outbursts. You're still the same mean old guy you always were. So how can God work with that? Your love walks out of line. It affects every area of our life. It's important that we do it. Get an image of these sheep. Sheep, you can say, Michael. Because I'm one of his sheep. That's supposed to be when I'm on the Word, when I'm filled with His Word, when I'm satisfied because He meets all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When that's happening and the shepherd is present, what do I have to worry about? No matter what the problem is or how big it is, He's going to lead me through it. And I'm going to come out ahead, whatever it is. So I'm supposed to be at rest. That doesn't mean not doing anything. That means my emotions, my thoughts, my inner self should be at rest and confidence. The other night when that took place, that rest wasn't there. The minute I said, I can tell you that the minute I said I wouldn't do it, the rest came back. And I wasn't even thinking about good or bad as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. I was listening. I could tell you it was right here. Mm-hmm. That's where the intensity was. It wasn't here. It was here. And I knew I wasn't supposed to do it. I would have left my shepherd. Now, he'd have been with me, mm-hmm. but I would have been doing something that was not in his path for me. Even though it looked like it was okay. Let's look at Psalm 4, verse 8. And we're going to look at this peace. Yes. Now, this is something that you can use as a confession. And you can take, you can use it and lay claim to it. And when you're at an unrest, and lay claim to it, and keep this before your eyes and in your mouth. And the longer the unrest is there, you keep this, you just keep going right back here. Psalm 4, verse 8. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you, Lord, alone, make me dwell in safety and confident trust. Glory to God. That's an image of what we're talking about tonight, about allowing the Lord to be our shepherd. Now, I know Mother used this scripture a lot when I was gone.
I did. This is how I'd go to sleep at night, because I had to say this. I had to do this. The translation I had said, as soon as I lie down, I fall peacefully asleep, because you, O Lord, bring security to my dwelling.
Yes. Isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. But she had to make that choice. See, I didn't have no choice but to be gone. I was gone, she says, for the first 8 years.
11 and a half years, totally, between the two jobs.
Yeah. Little kids around. And
yeah, a bunch
we
of
both
kids.
Knew God put us there. So what brought us comfort was that knowledge. We knew that 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 God put us there. And the longer I was there, the more convinced I was of that. And it was a ministry as much as a job. And when you know that, you can't leave that job. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's providing, and that was our confession. Lord, this is your idea. You put us out here. You'll take care of our home. And we stood on that. And this was part of it. She never knew it, but I told her one time, I said, don't know how many tears I cried when I left on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. It's hard when you call home and you're in a motel, mm-hmm. four walls, you can't come back. Mm-hmm. And she's telling you about the problems. And you can't do anything about it but pray and encourage her. Mm-hmm. And then we'd agree. We'd always come to that. Well, the Lord put us out here. And there's just one tough woman here. Mm-hmm. But she's tough because of God. Mm-hmm. She knows him. Mm-hmm. And this is part of that knowledge. And that's, we got to get that way. And you don't get that way overnight. Mm-hmm. You get that way because you're focused. Mm-hmm. And you're making a choice. And we still got choices to make.
Yep.
You always will as long as you're alive. Our next one is a little long, but it's one of my favorite parts of Scripture. Proverbs 3, verse 21. My son, let them not, or the words, let them not escape from your sight, but keep sound in godly wisdom and discretion, and they will be life to your inner self, and a gracious ornament to your neck, your outer self. Then you will walk in your way securely and in confident trust, and you shall not dash your foot or stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden terror and panic, nor of the stormy blast of the storm, or the storm and ruin of the wicked when it comes, for you will be guiltless. For the Lord shall be your confidence, firm and strong, and shall keep your foot from being caught in a trap or some hidden danger. So he's watching out for me because I'm keeping godly wisdom. I'm keeping my focus on him. Right in the middle of the storms of life, no matter how big they are, I focus on the Word. I focus on my love for him. It's not that I don't have something to do where that's concerned. It's not that I don't have to make decisions. But I'm not alone in those decisions. He's giving me wisdom that I don't have. He's granting me favor where I'm at. He's telling me the steps that I need to make that I would not make on my own. And makes no sense in the natural. But he's guiding me, he's teaching me, he's bringing favor. Those angels are out there peddling all over the place, bringing the word to pass because I'm speaking it. I'm believing it. I trust the Lord. And that's what this guy is doing. If we will do what this says, then he can do what he said. And no matter how big the storm is, I can go to sleep. I don't have to. Worry never fixed anything. Fear never fixed anything. Concern never fixed anything. It's only when you have the knowledge you need to do the job or whatever it is, that's when you can fix it. And that knowledge comes from the Holy Spirit. He's in us, teaching us. But I can't hear him because I'm so focused on worry and fear and this big problem here, I can't hear him. Because if I'm focused that way, what am I? I'm carnally minded. And that's death, or it leads to destruction. It leads to failure. But if I'm spiritually minded, that means I'm word-minded. It means I'm considering my ways. I'm walking the love walk. That's my focus. I'm trying to hear his voice, and he's guiding me through the problems and issues of life. As long as I'm doing that, then I'm at rest. And he will guide me in the way I need to go.
I just got to tell you, I've spent a lot of time the last month since my mom broke her hip with her. She's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
But it's her long life of godliness.
Yes.
That's got her where she is, and she makes no bones about it. She tells them, you know, God is the one who's preserved her. God's the one who's healed her. You know, I've known her to do this all my life. She always spends an hour in prayer. Now, she's Catholic, okay? And people kind of make mean remarks about Catholics.
It's the heart, Mama.
And she's got a stack this high of all kinds of prayer books and little prayer cards and saints and all kind of stuff like that. But you'll never convince me that she's wrong.
No, she's not.
Because, you know, she was staying with my sister when this happened because she's got doctor appointments and stuff up in Belleville. But if she'd have been down on the farm, she'd have never made it.
No.
Because back that country road,
14 miles from town.
10 miles from town. And even though she had her little button and pushed it where she was in the city, it worked out good. And she'd been going back and forth to the farm and then to the city. And when she was in the hospital, I said, Mom, do you think you'll ever, are you thinking or considering about when you get well to go back to the farm? She said, no. She said, it would be the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I said, but I hope you don't feel bad about that. She said, you know, I feel like it's God's will. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the way she said that is like,
mm-hmm.
It's God's will.
Yeah.
She's lived God's will all her life. She's told me more than once in time gone by that, you know, it's her faith that keeps her strong.
Yeah.
She knows God. My dad, he was godly. They were always in church and everything. And they know God. You can't tell me.
It's the heart condition.
It's her complete lack of doubt.
Yes.
On any of it.
I mean,
she knows God.
Exactly right. That's exactly
she told me
right.
One time, she said, I was just sitting at the kitchen table. She said I was saying her prayers in her prayer book. And she said it was just like this oil was just golden oil was coming down and just flowing all over me. She said, I'd never felt that before.
It's the Holy Spirit.
It was the anointing, you know.
Yeah.
But she said, you're the only one I can tell.
That's so sad.
As important as that was to her, no one else would have understood it or picked up on it.
Yeah. We know what it was.
And you know, she's old, right? She's going to be 100 years old in a couple months. And she sleeps a lot. She's got a nice recliner and she'll sit there during the day and she doesn't watch TV. The only thing she really wants to watch is either the ball games or Jeopardy. You know, or something like that. She's not interested in the news. But she'll doze off and she'll talk. She talks in her sleep a lot. But when I listen to see what she's saying, you know, are you talking to me, Mom? She's praying. She prays in her sleep.
No. That's so awesome. I know that's true. It doesn't matter what denomination you are. It's your heart. Your heart. God sees the heart. I was talking about that last week about when we talked about tithing. Tithing is a heart condition. And if you're just, you can do it mechanically and you're at least you're in obedience, but to do it because you love, that's totally different. The woman with the two mites. That blesses me so much in the temple. Mm-hmm. All these people giving. And Jesus is sitting there in the treasury watching them. He's just watching. People with a lot. Lines of people. Mm-hmm. And then this one old widow comes. Two mites. A commentary says it's not legal to give that. Because it's the least amount. It took two of those to make one penny to us. And I can just see her standing there with those looking at them like that. It's all she had. And she puts them in. And Jesus never mentioned anything about anybody else giving but this lady. I can hear him shouting, say, come here. He's talking to his disciples. Come here, look. Look, that lady. That lady has done more than anyone else here because she gave all she had. What did he say? She done it out of love. You think she went home penniless? I don't think so. But it doesn't say, but I can guarantee you her needs were met. But it was so important that Jesus pointed it out. I can see him getting up. Look, that lady. I'm sorry, but that's always blessed me every time I think about that. Because I see God's heart. He looks at the heart. What is our heart like? Mm-hmm. We may not know how to do things. We may not know the word in any big degree. But we have a heart. We're seeking him. We're not doing things mechanically. We're doing it because we love. We're seeking him. We want the relationship. Mm-hmm. And he will pour it out. He'll pour it out. You can't convince me Jesus is not Lord. You can't convince me that. I know him. He's been with me all of my life. I can tell you some stories of where I come from. He's real, and he's my Lord. And I know many of us have had problems in life. I've had my share. But he's always been with me, and he always will be. Now I can't read. Praise God.
That's something that's very reassuring to me.
What's that name?
It's something that's very reassuring to me is knowing that, like you said, it is a heart condition.
Yeah.
But my youngest is highly intelligent. And she has some problems in and out of the Word. She doesn't agree with certain things. She doesn't miss any other. But and you wonder if you've done something wrong. But as she's getting older, she's got one more year full of school left. And it's like, hey, a lot of people don't, at that age, don't know what they want to do. She confided in me the other day, and this is how I know none of that has come back void.
Uh-huh.
She will get there.
Amen.
Right.
She doesn't know exactly how, but she wants to help people.
Yes.
She goes, I don't know why, but she goes, that's what I want to do.
God is working
in
your life.
Okay. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
We had some friends in church over here when we first moved here with the youth pastors, husband and wife, and young couple. And they were doing everything they could because they knew God had called them to be missionaries to China.
Yeah.
But you can't just go to China. You have to have some kind of degree and something to do a job when you get there. You can't say, well, we're coming over as missionaries, because they don't allow that. Mm-hmm. And so they were both taking all kind of college courses and stuff to be prepared to be teachers and stuff over there. But they were going through their denomination. And every time they applied for the grants so they could go, they were turned down. And it hurt them. It just broke their hearts. They would tell us all the time, you know, why won't they let us go? We know God's called us to go.
Yeah.
And we told them, if God's called you to do that, he'll get you there.
Yeah.
You don't depend on, you know, men or money or anything like that. If God wants you to go, you'll go.
Yeah.
So I'm really confident that that's where they're at right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it at all. And he went through, they both went through the Assemblies of God school, you know.
Yeah, they went to Evangel.
They were not just wanting to go. He was associate or youth pastor over here when we knew him, so he could man. Well, I think I need to quit there. You know how far we got?
Second half of verse 1.
we got verse 2. But praise God, I'm so excited. It's a good message tonight, praise God. Well, Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We love you so much, Lord, and we set our love upon you.
Yes.
And you have already set your love on us even before we existed. We're so thankful, Father, and thank you for using us to help others come into the knowledge of your word. It's so awesome to take your word and be able to share it with people. And we thank you for the revelation that you give us as we do, Lord. We look forward to the future days that are coming. We don't know what the world holds, but we know one thing, that you're our shepherd and our guide, Lord. And you'll lead us to those still the green pastures and those restful waters. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for those that will hear this message in the future, whatever time they hear it, over the internet or by CD or through our lives as we live it, Lord. We thank you for them and we pray for them. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.